It is Chase Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. Blue Jays falling to the A's 5-4 in the opener of this four-game set over in the Bay Area, and a tough one for the Blue Jays to swallow, Josh, as they had an opportunity there in the top of the eighth inning with the game-tying run at second base, but Joe Panik unable to bring home Randall Grichuk. Looked like the Jays' offense might be getting some going there in that frame, but this team falls short in game one of four against the Oakland A's. As Steven Matz, Josh, another tough outing tonight, five earned runs over five innings, did strike out six, but gave up seven hits and a couple of laser beams, some hard hit balls off the Oakland A's bats tonight for Steven Matz. And now over his last two appearances, it's 11 earned runs, and don't want to say that he's turning into a pumpkin, but things not trending in the right direction right now for Steven Matz. So we'll see where things go the next time out.
Well, I guess like after the first four starts, you know, you were already carving out a Cy Young bust for him, and you know that's the penalty of a sample size, right? He had after his first three starts, he had a 1.47 ERA, and then it was 2.31 after the start in Tampa. Then it was 4 after he gave up 6 in 3 2/3, and now it sits at 4.78. You know, he gave up harder contact. Last start around, you could have said, you know what, this is probably more than anything defense a little bit, and just balls finding holes. We talked about his batting average on balls in play being almost 500. It was high again tonight, but a lot of the balls were hit pretty hard tonight. He gave up a home run, and he gave up some extra base hits to Jed Lowry and to Matt Chapman, and it's a tough lineup, right? It's not exactly littered with household names, but a lot of really solid players in that lineup, and there's a reason Oakland is competitive every year with a low payroll. They figure out a way, you know, the whole money ball principle, it works. They plug and play guys that you might not think would be the greatest in other circumstances, but just seem to fit with what they do there. But I didn't think his changeup was particularly good again tonight. We talked about that, you know, pregame, what was he going to have in terms of the changeup? And you look tonight, he threw 27 changeups, and in terms of a called strike or a whiff, 19%. Only 5 of those 27 were swung and missed or called a strike. And that's really his big put away pitch. Like, he does throw a curveball also, and I suppose a slider, but it does seem like the changeup is the one when it's going strong can really be the difference maker for him. And for the second straight start, I didn't think it was particularly good. And not coincidentally, he wasn't very good.
Yeah, it's interesting that last time out he mentioned he didn't have the strikeout stuff, and that's why the Nationals got to knocking him around a little bit. But tonight he did strike out 6 over 5, but just, you know, got into a lot of two-strike counts, but was not able to put enough Oakland A's hitters away. So it was kind of bizarre in that sense, where he definitely had more of the strikeout stuff, but on those two-strike counts, giving up home runs to Ramon Laureano, of course, Steven Piscotty as well. In this one, as the Blue Jays fall to the A's 5-4 in Oakland in game one of their four game sets. Marcus Semien, meanwhile, making his return to Oakland, where he spent the last 6 years, went 1-for-3 with a walk and a base hit. Came up with a big moment in a big moment as well in the top of the eighth inning, but struck out as Lou Trevino, the A's righty reliever, got him striking out on a 97-mile-an-hour fastball in the top of the zone. And I don't blame Marcus Semien, Josh. You know, in that moment, you want to do something dramatic against your former team. Definitely was trying to swing out of his shoes a little bit there, and, you know, got the better of him, did Lou Trevino. But I thought in the moments, I could definitely understand Marcus Semien with a lot of pressure and a lot of, a lot of motivation to want to do something good for his new team in that spot. So a tough moment for him, because I'm sure he wanted a more positive result, but I don't blame him for trying to, you know, swing out of his shoes and do something big in that spot.
Yeah, and he almost hit a home run, right? He put a good swing on a baseball, and it just hooked a little bit foul, and unfortunate, because it would have been absolutely huge to give the Jays that that extra three runs. But I thought he had a good night for the most part. He's on base twice. You know, I had a little bit of a back and forth with a loyal Jays fan on Twitter about the 97 that Trevino struck him out with in the eighth inning there. And, you know, I think Marcus Semien would probably like to have that one back. I'm not saying that 97 from a really good reliever so far this year who had only given up two hits to right-handed pitchers, right-handed batters, rather, coming into the game in the first month of the season. So you can't really say, well, you should have hit that. But it was a hittable pitch, right? It wasn't on the black or anything. It was up in the zone, and like it was there for him. He swung right through it, and it was just one of those things. I'm sure he would like to have it back, but yeah, we saw the shots of his family in the crowd, which was great to see with the three kids and his wife, and Northern California roots. Obviously, would have loved to have come back with a win, but I thought it was a pretty good game for him, and he just strikes me as a pretty even keeled customer. He doesn't get too emotional. You know, the moment isn't necessarily too big for him. And I think that part of the reason that the Blue Jays wanted to bring him in, it was obvious the versatility that he gives you defensively. He was happy to play second base, play up the middle, even if it wasn't shortstop, and certainly offensively. But the clubhouse presence, right, that veteran leader type that this club certainly felt it needed with a lot of young players still figuring things out. Same thing with George Springer. And I just feel like, you know, we've seen that so far in spades from him. He sort of leads by example, even if he's not playing particularly well. So, you know, a good welcome back to Oakland type of game for him, albeit without the win. And, you know, hopefully he can build on it tomorrow and showcase that extra base hit pop that we saw on Sunday in the win against the Braves.
Yeah, and he definitely battled in all of his ABs tonight, four plate appearances. I think he saw like 30 pitches total tonight. So he was really working the A's pitchers, Frankie Montas, the first three, and then, of course, that final at-bat against Lou Trevino as he got the better of him. Some positive notes in this one, though. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., another three-hit night. Two of those balls just blasted over to right field, 110 miles an hour plus off the bat to right field. One was a single, one was a double there in the top of the eighth inning that got things going for the Blue Jays. They were able to cash Vladdy, but Randall Grichuk was stranded at second base. And, you know, at this point, Josh, every single at bat, when you see Vladdy come to the plate, you're just interested to see what he's going to do. And tonight, just smashing those rockets to right field, just more, you know, just more motivation for him to obviously continue to work on what he's doing, and just more for us to sort of sit back and just say, wow, this guy is just on an absolute tear so far this year. And, you know, the sample size is starting to get larger now. We're up to 27 games. Can Vladdy Jr. keep this up? Can he keep, you know, performing at the level we've seen so far? And right now, there's really nothing slowing down that train as far as, you know, where the sky is for a guy like Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Yeah, it's become sort of a commonplace in the first couple weeks of the season, month of the season. If you're checking out Baseball Savant, which is a great site for, you know, some of the deeper dive stats in game, exit velocity, you know, pitch numbers in terms of swings and misses and numbers of pitches specifically that a pitcher's throwing, you know, there's a top exit velocity in each game box or little graphic. And tonight, as has been the case over and over so far this season, top exit velocity, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. 110.4, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. 110.2. And it's been him and Giancarlo Stanton this year in terms of balls hit 110 plus. And Stanton is no secret to being a Statcast monster. Nobody has hit the ball harder in Major League Baseball since the advent of Statcast 5-6 years ago. But Vladdy is starting to give him a little bit of a run for his money. And unlike Giancarlo Stanton, I know Stanton has the light tower power, and that's been the claim to fame, and that's why he won an MVP, almost hit 60 home runs in that season a couple of years ago. But Vladdy doesn't have that prolific swing and miss to his game that you would think a lot of players who hit the ball that hard do. I guess you could also say, well, he doesn't hit as many home runs as he should for someone who hits the ball that hard, but he has 7 home runs this year. That is a very solid start through 1 month. Sure, almost half of them came in one game, but they all count the same at the end of the day. And the launch angle has improved, albeit without sacrificing anything in terms of how hard he's hitting the ball. He's not striking out that much. He's walking almost, if not more than 20% of the time. I don't see anything in this that leads me to believe, like, maybe he's not going to hit 340 all year, but could he hit 300 all year with great on base numbers? I don't see why not.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way it's going right now, it's hard to, you know, envision a scenario where he just goes on an absolute, you know, cold streak, you know, barring just something ridiculous where he's not able to keep up this average to at least get to 300. Like you said, he's not probably going to bat 340, 350 for the entire season, even though he's up to 356 right now. But the work that he's done, obviously, in the offseason is paying off. The work that he's doing at the plate, this is, you know, people talked a lot about the guy that we saw down in Double A, and, you know, we've heard it from John Schneider, who managed him. We heard it from, you know, Gil Kim, who runs the player development. That's, this is a different guy. Like, this might be better than the guy that they saw a few years ago just dominate Double A and bat 400, you know, for that stretch when he was down in the minors. And if that's the case, that is definitely a scary, scary thing for the rest of Major League Baseball. You can send us your text, 590-590, give us your name and your location. Your thoughts on the Blue Jays loss tonight to the Oakland Athletics. So we'll come back, read some texts, and when we continue as well, we'll try to hear from Steven Matz, the Blue Jays starter tonight, as the A's defeat Toronto 5-4 in game one of this four-game set. You're listening to Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Biggio, Bichette, and Guerrero aboard. And the first pitch to Teoscar, a swing and a ball line into left field, a base hit. Biggio in to score. Bichette is on his way home. Guerrero slides into third. Hernandez is at second, and this game is tied.
Dan Schulman with the call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. At that moment, a big time in the ballgame. Teoscar Hernandez with the two-run single, tying things up in the top of the third inning, but the Oakland A's would go on to the 5-4 victory in game one of this four-game set. It's Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. You can send us your text, 590-590. Just give us your name and your location, your thoughts on the ball game tonight. You can also get us on Twitter at WongSN590, at JGoldberg12. We'll read those texts in just a few moments, but right now we want to hear from the starter for the Blue Jays tonight. Steven Matz went five innings, gave up five earned runs as he falls to 4-2 on the season. This is what the Blue Jays lefty had to say following the 5-4 loss.
After your last outing, you had said that you still felt pretty good about your stuff despite the results. Did you still feel good about your actual stuff tonight, or was something different?
I still did feel pretty good about my stuff. I think what got me last outing was similar to what got me this outing. You know, I look back at those two changeups, they're, you know, just they're on the fat part of the plate. And, you know, ultimately that's what got me again tonight. But as far as my stuff, I'm still feeling pretty good, you know, about where that's at. It's just, you know, just small adjustments, and I wasn't able to make those today.
And then when the time came for Charlie to take you out of the game there, were you hoping to get back out for another inning to find something, or what was your reaction there?
Yeah, I definitely want to go back out. You know, I know the bullpen's been working their butts off, you know, and I want to go as deep in that game as I can there. You know, I didn't do a good job of that tonight. And so I definitely wanted to go back out, just, you know, kind of the competitiveness. But, yeah, so I did.
You were mentioning there about trying to look for an adjustment mid-game and not being able to do that. Just wondering what sort of your process when you're trying to correct something mid-game. How do you go about it?
Yeah, I mean, it is tough to do mid game, you know, it's just kind of, you're hoping you kind of find it, you know, it's the idea of, you know, mainly on that change up, getting it in more out of the zone and being aggressive with it and kind of using it almost as like a put away pitch, you know, from the start, instead of kind of just lulling it through the zone. You know, I felt like I was able to get two strikes on a lot of these hitters tonight and just wasn't able to put them away or execute good pitches. And so the biggest thing, mid game is just finding that adjustment, and that's tough to do. And, you know, unfortunately I wasn't able to do that tonight. So to answer your question is, I don't know, because I wasn't able to do it tonight.
And then just in general, how do you attack it between starts, like especially on the changeup? Like, will you just throw a ton in your side session, fiddle with grip? Like, how do you kind of attack it from there?
Yeah, I'll talk to Pete. You know, I felt like Pete had a good grasp on that, you know, with me in spring training and just some simple cues. And so I'm not going to overdo it and overreact. I'm just, you know, get with Pete, see what he thinks, and just kind of have a game plan going into my next start.
Hey, Steven, you mentioned your competitiveness. When you came out after the fifth inning there, obviously you were frustrated at what happened in the inning and then doubly frustrated when you got the news. How difficult is it to handle that situation, and how fired were you up in that moment?
Yeah, you know, I was pretty fired up. You know, we have a tie game going. You know, I know the bullpen, like I said, has been working really hard. I want to just keep getting back out there and keep getting into a rhythm and everything, and to kind of get snake bitten by that home run right there and get pulled is extremely frustrating. You know, you just want to go out there and compete for your team. And yeah, so kind of everything is definitely was a frustrating night.
There is Blue Jay starter Steven Matz following the 5-4 loss to the Oakland A's tonight. So Matz giving up 5 earned runs over his 5 innings of work, gave up a pair of homers in this one. And Josh, you mentioned it, the changeup just was not working out for Steven Matz tonight, and he thinks it's just going to be some slight adjustments, but definitely tough. You know, these last couple of starts where, you know, last week he didn't have the strikeout stuff, and this week he has the strikeout stuff, but wasn't able to put away a couple of ace hitters in some big spots. And we saw the frustration on his face when he was taken out after the ball game. Not even just his face, but his whole body language was slamming the hat down on the bench. You're always worried when, you know, a pitcher is, you know, getting frustrated in the dugout. We all remember a few years ago, AJ Burnett, I think, punched the wall and hurt his hand. And, you know, Steven Matz using that left hand that he throws with to slam the hat onto the bench. And you're thinking, oh, geez, just use the right hand. If you're going to do anything, use the right hand to slam it down on the bench. But luckily came away unscathed. But, you know, I know there's a lot of fans out there that love to see that stuff. They love to see players get mad. They love to see players get angry, show that they care. But in that situation, you're just hoping Steven Matz doesn't do something dumb and hurt himself for, you know, a rotation that's already dealing with so many injuries. But clearly a frustrating night for Steven Matz. And, you know, I kind of liken it to what we saw from Robbie Ray a couple of weeks ago, where, you know, he had that terrible game against the Kansas City Royals and came away unscathed. They didn't give up any runs, but, you know, he was able to make adjustments and he's been lights out since. So he, Steven Matz, you know, saying that Pete Walker, obviously a guy that has a lot of trust and a lot of faith in, they'll go back to the drawing board and we'll see what he can do next time out.
He's going to have to, I guess, get back in the lab or what have you with Pete Walker and figure a few things out. And I like the passion. I think he's from Stony Brook in New York. So, you know, he's got that New York fire and passion. So always good to see. And I respect wanting to go back out there and feel like the job wasn't done to the point where you wanted to help the bullpen out. And these guys are keenly aware, obviously, as we all are, that just the level of work that this bullpen has had to endure so far, putting out fires, high leverage spots, full bullpen days, seeing 8 or 9 relievers in a game, that sort of thing. So any time where you can only use 3 guys, even in a loss, you know, considering the state of affairs of this rotation, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. And honestly, tip of the cap, we haven't had a chance to mention Travis Bergen, I thought, did a pretty good job getting 5 outs, throwing 30 pitches. He was basically just throwing a fastball. He mixed in, I think, a couple of curveballs, but it was quite a bit of smoke and mirrors from him, right? Like he threw 28 fastballs and 2 curveballs, gave up 2 hits in his 1 2/3, but 28 fastballs and the ability to not get lit up, that's impressive. You don't see that very often, especially even from relievers. Most relievers, even at minimum, throw 2 pitches. Unless you're Mariano Rivera, who might have the greatest single pitch in the history of baseball with that cutter. You don't see too many relievers throw 1 pitch. So honestly, I'm just surprisingly impressed that Travis Bergen was able to get 5 outs throwing 1 pitch, a fastball.
Yeah, well, I know Pat Tabler mentioned it on the broadcast that it's very similar to a guy that we saw in Oakland for many years, Sean Doolittle, the longtime A's closer now with the Nationals. That's a guy that throws his fastball like 88% of the time. I think I was looking it up. So almost 90% of the time, you're going to get a fastball from Sean Doolittle. And, you know, we're seeing that from Travis Bergen. But, you know, we always say it when it comes to pitchers, you know, you always want to get beat with your best stuff. And for Travis Bergen, that's the fastball. So he's going to go out there and you're going to get that pitch a large percentage of the time. And then you have to figure out if you can square it up or not. Clearly, you know, there's something going on with Travis Bergen's fastball, whether it's, you know, the spin rate, the delivery, maybe it's tough for hitters to pick up. I mean, you know, why would you be throwing it 90% of the time if there wasn't something to it? So, you know, impressive outing for him to get those five outs in relief of Steven Matz there. And then Tim Mesa, wildly effectively wild, if you want to put it that way, for him tonight. Was not at his sharpest, but was able to get four outs there. And the Blue Jays bullpen, once again, coming up big and keeping this team in the ball game. But at the end of the night, they fall to the A's 5-4 in the series opener. Before we get to those text messages on the other side, did want to give credit as well. Kevin Biggio has taken a lot of heat this year, Josh, for his defense at third base and at times in right field, and didn't start great for him in this one. Had a ball fly off the wall. It did carry quite a bit early on in this ball game, but made a nice defensive play later in the game to get Steven Piscotty. Made a nice catch as well in deep right center field. So, you know, Kevin Biggio taking a lot of heat for the defense this year. You got to give him a tip of the cap tonight to make some big plays to keep some runs off the board.
Yeah, I feel like some people are probably just going to not look to give Kevin Biggio any credit whatsoever until he starts doing it at third base, which appears to be his position, like his home base position this year. But yeah, the play on the Piscotty ball was great off the wall. Really smart, good awareness to know that he didn't have a chance. Play it one hand, throw a nice two-hopper to Bichette covering at second, and a huge opportunity there to get that second out. It would have been second and third and one out, and who knows what ends up happening there. And the Jays, you know, end up having a chance there in the eighth and ninth inning in a one-run baseball game that they might not have had that play not been made, and made a nice leaping grab in right field. I don't think he's ever going to necessarily be a huge plus defensively at whatever position he's at. He's not an insanely good athlete. He's a smart player. He's good foundationally. He's obviously got high baseball IQ and acumen. I think he'll be fine at third base. I'd like better than fine going forward. I don't think it's a tenable situation long term. I just feel like he will eventually settle in as somebody who could play three or four different positions in a given week. It's just a question of, you know, like, ultimately, what is his long-term home here positionally? Is he just somebody who doesn't really have a home position and roves all over the place? Or does he maybe eventually end up settling at second base? I don't know. A lot, I think, still needs to be figured out there.
Yeah, I think as long as the bat continues to be good, and tonight we saw him go 1-for-5, but maybe got jobbed on a few calls there from home plate umpire Bill Miller. If he continues to swing the bat wherever he is in the lineup, gets on base, then, you know, the defense is going to be less of a concern. But when the OPS is sitting at 588, you're definitely going to hear it from a lot of people watching the Blue Jays right now. When we continue on Jays Talk, we'll have a quick update on George Springer, who did not appear in this ball game today, was just sitting on the bench watching the action tonight. We'll also read a few of your texts. 590-590, give us your name and your location. That is where you can reach us. It's Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob and Josh on the Sportsnet Radio Network. It is Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Long, Josh Goldberg with you. Just a few more minutes. We'll get to some of your texts here coming up momentarily. But a quick update on George Springer from Blue Jays manager Charlie Montoyo. Springer was unavailable to the Blue Jays tonight, according to Montoyo, which is why he did not pinch hit in the ninth. Quote, if he could have, I would have. If he could have, I would have. He couldn't. The Blue Jays will check on him tomorrow to see if he feels up to DHing. And also asked Montoyo was if Springer was still experiencing the fatigue that forced him from Sunday's game. And Montoyo said, quote, a little bit, yes, enough that we couldn't take the chance of pinch hitting him there at the end. Boy. So
that's not good.
That's not great. That's not great. But this is the reality that we are in right now, where you've got a guy that is not 100%. But maybe is healthy enough to play, but maybe not healthy enough to pinch hit, needs a little bit more time off. It's just a bit of a mess right now. And we had Shai Davidi on in the pregame show, and you know, he kind of laid it out, and I think everybody within the Jays organization is taking it day by day, as we all are, even as media members, as fans, trying to, you know, see how things go. I mean, maybe he wakes up tomorrow and feels great and he's ready to get back in there, but maybe he's not, needs another day off, maybe he's heading to the IL. I really don't know what to think at this point.
Yeah, anything I think is possible. He could be good to go. He could need another day and then be good to go on Wednesday. He could end up on the IL. I just wonder, you know, would 10 days really do him some good? Probably not. Can't hurt, because it was pretty tough watching him run the bases. It was not tough watching him launch a 470-foot bomb for his second of the game and trot around the bases. But it just, I don't know. Like, if he can't pinch hit one at bat, and even if he hit a double, can he run to second base? If you really have to ask yourself that type of question, then why isn't he on the IL? Because we still got a lot of baseball left to be played here. We're talking about 130 some odd games. Why risk however many of those games at this point in the season when you could just say, all right, let's put him back on the IL. It's not a great look to bring him back and put him back on, but it may serve everyone well if we do this, you know, around the All-Star break, and we want to be gearing up to make a stretch run come August when the schedule is a little bit more forgiving, and hopefully in September.
Absolutely. Got a few texts we wanted to get to. Peter in Toronto chimes in, says, Steven Matz is a third starter at best. Can't be all that surprised when he has some bad starts. To be fair, Peter, you know, I thought he turned a corner, to be honest with you, in those first four starts. And, you know, this is more of the guy that we saw early on his career with New York as opposed to the guy that we saw last year. So the answer is somewhere in between. He's not the guy in the first four starts, but he's definitely not the guy that we've seen the last few starts here. I think he is definitely better than that. Hi guys, Andrew in London here says, always listen and enjoy the show. Vladdy with two balls hit 110 off the bat the other way. Unreal talents. And if George Springer is not available with his leg, he should go on the IL for 10 days and bring up Rowdy Tellez, says Andrew. So he's in lockstep with you there, Josh. Maybe he does need some time off to get things potentially right, but the Blue Jays training staff, only they know at this point. And finally, our buddy Tony from the Hammer says, I think it was a wise move to not have Springer pinch hit for Jano in the ninth inning. He needs to be fully healed before Charlie inserts him back into the lineup. So we'll see if George Springer is ready for game two of this series, as it'll be Anthony Cave getting the start for Toronto up against Cole Irvin. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, powered by Jack Lynx and Hunger Down to the Minors and Feed Your Wild Side. The Blue Jays fall in the opener 5-4 to the Oakland A's. Steven Matz takes the loss, giving up 5 earned runs over 5 innings of work. Marcus Semien 1-for-3 with a walk in his return to the Bay Area. For JR, Tom, and Josh, I'm Rob. We'll talk to you on Tuesday night.